Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Take your message notes if you'd like in the bulletin as well to follow along. We began in mid-August a series out of 1 Corinthians entitled 1 Corinthians and 21st Century Living. There's certainly been a lot of things that are strikingly applicable to us in the 21st century. Today we're going to talk about an area that Paul comes to that, to be honest, is still somewhat controversial in the church in America today. In most of the areas where the suffering church operates that we've been praying for this morning, in many areas where there's great spiritual awakenings happening in Latin America, Africa, Asia. This is not very controversial because they're used to the supernatural. They believe like you don't believe in the supernatural. I mean, why are you even claiming to have faith? But for us in America, where we're very westernized, where we become very secularized, we have people in the Church of Jesus Christ. They know and love Jesus. But they would say, because we now have the Bible, that God no longer does miraculous things. But we believe as a church, like we have just opened up our hearts, right, in worship to the presence of God. This is more than emotional therapy, and this is more than an intellectual exercise. We believe that God's power wants to come and intersect our lives in very tangible and real ways. And so how this happens, how God gives his spirit to all of us so that we can touch other people's lives. You'll hear me often say, there are people in your world who really need this week an encounter with a spirit-filled believer. And that's you, that's not me. You're not paying me to do this for you. I can't do your growing for you, and I can't be in those moments at work, in your neighborhood, with your families this week, where God is gonna wanna use you. The spirit who comes to you wants to flow through you. And we do not want to be a part of that Christian world that would say the Spirit comes to us and that's it. No, the Spirit who comes to us, we believe, wants to work through us. And part of the way that happens is through what we call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 1, Paul says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed." So now, of all the topics he's hit, he comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been ministered to by the gifts of the Holy Spirit through somebody else? That's an amazing experience. Where God has used other, maybe even in the tongues and interpretation we just heard, which are two of the gifts of the Spirit, maybe God just spoke to you very clearly that way. I remember I was probably 22 years old. I was living in the dorms. I had a non-Christian roommate at the University of Minnesota, and he, I think, was gone for the weekend. And so I remember it was a Sunday afternoon, and I was just on my face on the floor in my dorm. I was just hungry for God, and I was just using that afternoon just to wait on the Lord. I used to decide to not study on Sunday and just try to seek God on Sundays, and so I was doing that. And I remember being on the floor, And for some reason, I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading. I just put my hands out, kind of lying on my face on the floor, my hands out. And I said, "Lord, would you just anoint my hands?" In the sense that I want to be able to lay hands on people and in the power of the Spirit do things through them of the gifts of the Spirit. And I want you, in the larger sense, I just want you to bless the work of my hands. I'm trying to serve you on this campus. I'm leading a little Bible study. I'm trying to serve you. And I just need you to bless what I'm putting my hands to here. I just need you. I can't do this myself. And so I was just spending that afternoon just calling out to God. And then I went to service. I went to church. I was going to a little Assemblies of God church right on the edge of the University of Minnesota campus, and they had evening services on Sunday like we do. And so I was going to evening service, and that night they had a guest speaker. And it must have been the fall or something. And I remember I had this dorky sweater, but I was a nerd, huh? And it was a kind of a dorky sweater. It had these big diamonds on it and everything, and kind of like a sweater vest. And I, for some mindless reason, put that on. to go to church. And so here I was sitting in church with my dorky sweater on. And it was a guest speaker that night, and the preacher gets up, and he said, I was praying this afternoon, and this would be kind of a word of knowledge, which is, we'll see, is one of the gifts of the Spirit. He said, the Lord showed me a young man who is going to be here tonight, and he's wearing a sweater. And I was too far back for this guy to have seen me yet, because it was pretty, for a little church, it was a pretty big crowd that night. He said he's wearing a sweater with blue diamonds on it. Fortunately, he didn't call it dorky in front of everybody. And he said, I saw this afternoon as I was praying. He was on the floor wherever he lives, and he was asking Jesus to anoint his hands. I mean, verbatim what I was praying, and he described perfectly what I was wearing that night. He said, I'd like that guy to come forward. Hey, I wasn't even looking around like, I hope that's for somebody else. No, I knew God had me right there, right? That man of God prayed over me and began to see some amazing things start happening in the next years. And that's being touched by somebody who's moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I personally am not interested in attending a church where the power of God's not operating. And we're the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I know all of us have been, some of us have been around long enough to know that that kind of stuff can get abused. But I have in numbers of times. And then maybe God has actually used you. I'm sure many of you. There are times I've been praying for, you know, the prayer request was one thing. And I started praying for somebody. And all of a sudden in my mind, I kept seeing a picture of something. And I just was distracted with something else than the prayer request. And so I pray for the prayer request, and I go and pray for that other thing. And then they look at me at the end and said, how did you know? And I didn't know, except that the Lord showed me something that he really wanted to do in their lives. And it just built faith, because they didn't even tell me. But it gave them the faith that God knows them. God has their number. He knows right where they are. And the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. I mean, here's the end in mind this morning. I want every one of you, if you know Jesus and you're hungry for the power of the Holy Spirit, I want every one of you to not be surprised that God could use you that way. That any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit could flow through your life. Now, Paul's having to come to this because as we've been saying, in Greek culture, where Corinth was located in Greece, in Greek philosophical culture, they tended to have a low view of anything that was physical and a high view of everything that was spiritual. And so this was getting them into problems. On one hand, they were, you know, dividing as a church around celebrities. They were, as we saw last week, they were discriminating against the poor in their church because they had a low view of the body. They said, well, who cares what you do with your body? So there was sexual immorality in the church and tolerance of it as well as indulgence of it. And there were people just demanding their personal rights. I don't care how I influence other people. I have a right to go to those idol temples and eat the meat because I belong to Jesus now. And all of, I mean, this just stuff was so fleshly. They had this low view of everything material and carnal. And at the same time, the Corinthians viewed themselves as these kind of super spiritual people. Because, you know, it's only spiritual that's important. And so there's sexual immorality, and they're arguing with one another, but they're also priding themselves of how spiritual they are. And, we're believing God for miracles, and we all speak in tongues a lot, and we prophesy. And they'd become proud about their spirituality. So what Paul is going to do in the next three chapters is try to reconnect spirituality with real life. And he's going to say spirituality is very important, but it's got to be grounded with the right motives, and it's got to be tangibly how God works through you in the gifts of the Spirit. Has to be to build up the church and not so you can wear your I'm spiritual badge. And so they were just off on how spiritual they were, but it was getting detached from real need. So first of all, he's going to talk theologically about this. in verse 4. Now, theology is the study of God. So in verse 4, he's going to take the three persons of the Trinity. He's going to mention Spirit, Lord, and God. That's Paul's favorite way of talking about Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God, or often Paul would just say God the Father, or sometimes just God. So you're going to see all three persons of the Trinity here. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts. He's talking about these spiritual gifts that operate through us. There's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. In other words, it's the Spirit of God. So there's the Spirit of God distributing them. And then there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, our Lord Jesus. And there are different kinds of working, but in them all and in everyone, it is the same God at work. It is the same God at work. So let's summarize those three. First of all, he talks about the empowering of the Spirit. He says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. So when a gift of the Spirit works through us, it's God's Spirit that's come to us, now working through us. And this is a supernatural enablement that the Spirit of God gives us. So the Spirit of God distributes and operates gifts through us. That's why he said in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And then from the empowering of the Spirit, he goes to, in the next sentence, to the serving of the Son. The serving of the Son. How the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, serves us. For he says, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And it reminds us when Jesus said to his followers, don't be like those leaders you see around you. They just push people around and control people and get them to do what they want you to do. He said, it won't be so among you. But whoever is great among you becomes the servant. In other words, our posture is not to control people. Our posture is to serve and lift up people around us. And he's going to say, that's why the spiritual gifts need to operate. They aren't for you. They aren't to prove anything about your spirituality. But they're all about Jesus, who after Jesus said that about real leaders, he said, and that's why I came to the world, not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for everybody, speaking of him dying for us on the cross so that we could be forgiven. So this is the servanthood of Jesus that's expressed through the gifts and the enablement of the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about the working of the Father, of God the Father. For he says, there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. In other words, this sovereign, mighty God, who's the source of everything, he's working out his plan. And it's a mystery. I don't know why spiritual gifts operate at certain times and not at other times. I don't understand how God's working in the world right now totally. All I know is he's building his church and that God is sovereignly working. And this is more or less a plan and more a mystery. And I get, and you get, to be a part of this mystery, that we get to be a part of what God's doing in the world. And so there it is. God embeds the totality of himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. Why? Because he loves the people around you so much. And he loves the church you're a part of so much. And he loves the unreached nations of the world so much that he is going to pour gifts through you, not so that you can wear the I'm spiritual badge, but the gifts are for the building up of the church and the building up of the people around us. That's why the gifts are there. And this is God's whole posture towards us, Father, Son, and Spirit, that works through the gifts. And then he'll get practical on us. And he'll say, so you're wondering what I'm talking about here, as if Corinth needed this list. But here it is. And this probably isn't an exhaustive list. It's probably not all the gifts of the Spirit. But he will list 9 of them now, in a very practically speaking way. And it begins with verse 7, the very next verse. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit. Remember, it's the empowering of the Spirit. The Spirit distributes gifts to us. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So just underline common good right there. That's why the gifts of the Spirit. Paul's going to keep pounding at this over and over. This isn't so that you can get off on your spirituality. This isn't so you can call yourself a Pentecostal Assemblies of God church. This is because God loves people so much that he wants gifts to flow through you for the benefit of the church around you, for the common good. And then he says in verse 8, so the next verse, so to there is to one, speaking one among you, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. So he starts listing these gifts. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another is given the distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. That's what we heard a few minutes ago during our sung worship time. A message in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, Pastor Carter, the math major, is going to really like this. Even though this may not be a complete list, there are 9 of them. And 9 divided by 3 is 3. It just happens there's 3 categories of gifts and 3 gifts each. So I love symmetry. Don't you, Pastor Carter? We love symmetry. That's why we work together so well. In a very non-symmetric calling, like the ministry. At least we grab onto what we can grab onto. I love this. He lists 3 gifts that each belong to 3 categories. First of all, perceiving gifts. Perceiving gifts. This is God's supernatural ability to help us perceive something that we would not normally be able to perceive. And those gifts, and these are not in order, but he mentions the word of knowledge. Now, and people who tend not to believe that the miraculous is for today, now that we have the Bible, they would say the gift of knowledge is that ability to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ as opposed to other worldviews. And you know, that could be it. But it goes so far beyond. Like Peter in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira bring their offering into the Lord, and they lie about it. And Peter immediately reads their mail and said, why have you lied against the Holy Spirit when they gave that dollar number? Now, how do you know that? That was because God showed him something. God helped him to know something that he wouldn't have otherwise known. How did that man of God 45 years ago know me with my dorky sweater was on my face that afternoon in my dorm room seeking God for his anointing on my life? I mean, that's the gift of knowledge. It's an amazing thing. And then there's the word of wisdom. So the word of knowledge, and then there's the word of wisdom. Have you ever had somebody say exactly the right thing to you at exactly the right moment? You know? Have you ever actually had God use you that way? And sometimes when the word of wisdom, you know, the devil comes and says, you walk away from a conversation, you say, oh, you're so, you know, that was lame. You know, I don't think that did anything for that person. Then 3 years later, you find out, they come back to you and say, remember that conversation we had 3 years ago? It was like, you said something that just changed everything for me. And I want to thank you. Well, that's just God giving you wisdom. Isn't it awesome God can give you wisdom when we just feel a little dull half the time, right? He can give you wisdom, a word of wisdom. I pray God uses you this week that way. And what I love about the word of wisdom is you may not even realize you're moving in that gift, but you have stood in Central Assembly this Sunday morning and said, Lord, I really want to be full of your Spirit. And here I am available to you. And you may not even realize it, but God's going to be speaking through you because his Spirit is alive and real in you. And then there's the distinguishing between spirits. This is not the gift of suspicion. And if you're by nature cynical, God might not use you in this gift. But it's to be able to tell what spirit's involved. Like Paul in Acts chapter 16, he's preaching. And there's this young servant girl who's following him around. And she's a fortune teller. And she's saying the right thing. She's saying to the crowd, oh, you need to listen to this guy, Paul, because he's giving you the words of life. And this goes on for 3 days, but every time she speaks, something grates against Paul's spirit. Like, that's not the right spirit, even though what she was saying looked right on the surface. And so he turns around and casts a demon out of her. By the way, that's why we don't play around with Ouija boards, fortune-telling, tarot cards, palm reading. I mean, that's accessing the spiritual world outside of the name of Jesus, and it's demonic power. And we need this discernment these days. Amen. I mean, there's spiritual powers even being celebrated in the media and in movies, but they're not all the Spirit of God. And so sometimes people come and talk to me and I just sense, I don't think that's the Lord. We need that discernment. Is this God's spirit or is this another spirit? So those are the perceiving gifts. Are we doing okay so far? Now the power gifts. There's three of those he lists in that list that we just read. Power gifts. Faith. The gift of faith. I think this is the most underrated gift in the church today. I have found myself praying. One of the ways I pray for Central Assembly is that God would give us a handful of people in this church that authentically move in the spiritual gift of faith. Now, all of us have faith, right? Because we all believe in the Lord. But these are gifts that are for the common good. All of us have faith. But what about a gift of faith for a spiritual breakthrough in Springfield, Missouri? What if five people were operating in the gift of faith for a spiritual breakthrough in our city and were praying into that? You know, we don't ever see prayer as a spiritual gift and people who intercede a lot, but often faith is a part of the calling to intercede and to pray. And God's given you faith most other people don't have. The kind of faith that literally, in Jesus' words, would move mountains. You know? And I'm thinking that spiritual gift could be pretty potent in our city. And healing. In fact, he says the gifts, plural, of healings. This is healing for the body, and because it's plural, it's all kinds of healings. Where do you need healing? Do you need healing from a broken heart? Do you need a healing from a sick body? Do you need healing in a violated relationship? God has all kinds of gifts, plural, of healing that happen when we pray through one another. Now, next Sunday morning, one of my closest pastor friends in the country, Pastor Rod Loy, I just felt to ask him a number of months ago if he would come and preach for us next Sunday morning. And Pastor Rod pastors the great North Little Rock First Assembly, church made 5,000 people, and it's an amazing church. He's a very close friend of mine. And it's rare he would ever leave his church just to preach in another church. Pretty much the only time he's gone from his church on a weekend is when he's overseas. He's got a great heart for missions. And so he texted me 3 days ago, and he said, I really feel like I'm supposed to speak on healing next Sunday morning. And then, would it be okay if we prayed for people? Would that be okay, Pastor, and be okay to pray for people? He's also going to speak at our great volunteer celebration next Sunday night because he's an amazing mobilizer of people. He's an amazing leader. You won't want to miss it, whether you're a volunteer or not, next Sunday night. But he is going to pray for healing. And we just believe that as we pray for one another this morning at the end of this service and next Sunday morning and every Sunday morning, that our God's a healer. He takes broken things and puts them back together. I love this about our God. And why? So we can say, oh, someone got healed. Aren't we spiritual? No. Someone got healed. Isn't it amazing how much God loves people? You see? And then miraculous powers. He says that this is the third power gift. These are the miraculous powers. And this would be the supernatural beyond just healing. This would be casting out of demons. This would be financial miracles. It's the working of miracles. I mean, what impossibility is facing you? There are spiritual gifts that can operate through our lives that take on the impossible and do miraculous things. The third set of three gifts are the proclamation gifts. And here they are. First of all, prophecy. That's speaking God's word out about either the future or about the realities of the present, prophecy. And then speaking in tongues, he mentions that. Speaking in tongues, that's where somebody speaks in a tongue they don't understand. And we may all, you know, because we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, most of us may speak in tongues, but not everybody's used in the gifts of tongues in a public gathering for the common good, right? And so that's what we saw this morning. And then Paul is very clear to us in chapter 14 that we'll be diving into next week, that if there's a message in tongues in a public service, there needs to be interpretation with it. So I'm going to leave the proclamation gifts because we're going to talk about that, well, actually in 2 weeks, Pastor Rod next week. And then the next week we'll be going to chapter 14 where he talks about how spiritual gifts operate when we come together. So there they are. Three different kinds of perceiving gifts, three different kinds of power gifts, and three different kinds of proclamation gifts. And the question is, why those? And the answer is because God loves people so much that he'll even use us if he has to. and he pours through us because he loves us. And that's why the next chapter is there. We think he's changing the subject, but he's not. We're just going to close with this. The Bible commentator, the famous scholar, Dr. Gordon Fee, says 1 Corinthians 13 is one of Paul's finest moments. But I want you to read this paragraph with me, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 13, thinking about spiritual gifts. And look at how many spiritual gifts he lists here. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, okay, they're speaking in tongues. But I do not have what?
Love.
I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. So there's the gift of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, probably the gift of wisdom. I can fathom mysteries. And if I have a faith, there's a gift of faith. I have a faith that can move mountains. But I do not have love. I'm nothing. Because his point is, these gifts aren't to prove that you're spiritual. These gifts are to prove that God loves people and wants to pour through you. And it's not about you. It's about building up the people around you. And so you do it not loving the people around you. Like Paul's going, what is wrong with this picture? It's totally out of consistent, inconsistent with the reason the gifts of the Spirit are given to us. And if I can possess, and if I can give everything I possess to the poor, and if I can give over my body to hardship, so that I may boast of how much I'm suffering for Jesus. But I don't have love. I gain nothing. I gain nothing. And so he's going to invite us to pray two prayers. And these are the prayers we're going to end with this morning. And the first prayer is going to be, Lord, help me love people. Lord, let the starting place of the gifts of the Spirit flowing through my life start with just having a heart for people. I'm amazed how many times it describes Jesus. It doesn't say he just healed the multitudes. It says he was moved with compassion and healed them all. It was like out of this great love for people. That love sort of became the cart that carried the resources of God to them. And if we all start here. We don't say, oh God, I don't think you've ever used me in the gifts of the Spirit, and I feel spiritually inferior. Okay, already you're into the Corinthian problem. This has nothing to do with a badge of spirituality. You don't start with saying, Lord, I'd like to think that you use me in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. No, it starts with, God, break my heart for the needs of the people around me and help me to do this. And that's why he goes in verse 4, and he tells us 15 things love does. 2 things love does, 8 things love does not do, and 5 things love does. And you only hear these days in wedding ceremonies, but that's not what he's talking about. As applicable it is to how I treat my wife. And I'm going to read, everywhere is love, I'm going to put the word, the pronoun I in there. All right. So I want you to personalize this paragraph. Because we're asking the Lord, help me love people. Which means I'm going to be this way. I am patient. I am kind. I do not envy. I don't boast. I'm not proud. I don't dishonor other people. I'm not a self-seeking person. I'm not easily angered. Oh, Jesus, help us. And I don't keep record of other people's wrongs. Oh. And I don't delight in evil, but I rejoice with truth. And I always protect, and I always trust, and I'm always fighting for the best in other people. And I always hope, and I always persevere. This is where the spiritual gifts start, saying, God, would you help me to love people? It takes a miracle to do that. I mean, it took a miracle for that guy to know what kind of color sweater I was wearing to church that night and exactly verbatim what I prayed on my face on the floor in my dorm that afternoon. But I want to tell you a greater miracle when he can so change our hearts that we're no longer boastful and we're no longer easily angered and we don't keep lists anymore. And we're always fighting for the best, no matter how we're treated. That's the love that God can give you. And he's talking about this right in the middle of talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, help me to love people. And then here's the other prayer. And Lord, use me in your gifts. Use me in your gifts. That's the follow through. And so chapter 14 in verse 1 simply says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Some people say, well, no, love is this ultimate spiritual gift, so we don't need the other gifts. Paul is not saying that. He's not naming love as one of the spiritual gifts. He's naming love as the heart of God to touch the people around you. Will you carry his passion and compassion for others? Will you love? And it's in the context of you loving and being motivated by love that then the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow through you. And that word eagerly always convicts me. But what a powerful way to live our lives. To say, Lord, help me love the people around you. If it's just not your spirit to me, but it's your spirit through me. Help me. God, just give me a heart for the people around me. And then, Lord, I don't reluctantly desire, which is what most of us probably are, but I eagerly desire the spiritual gifts to work through me. Not because I want to prove something about my spirituality, because you love people so much. I mean, are you eagerly desiring to prophesy? Are you eagerly desiring to be able to lay hands on people and see them healed? I mean, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts because God loves the people around you so much and he's desperate to touch them with his power. And with his power. So I want you to stand with me.